Pleasure to see everyone this morning. We have a good crowd today, and we have, I know, a lot of folks that are tuning in, watching online. We appreciate your viewing and participating in worship in your remote locations. There's a couple of housekeeping things that we need to take care of. First of all, in the bulletin, you will notice that we had tentatively scheduled to start back on Sunday night services starting next Sunday night. Henry and I have been watching the news and paying close attention. We've been talking about it. We've been praying about it. And we feel that it is in the best interest of this church to continue things exactly like they are till the 1st of August at this point, with the spikes that are going on and the continued increases in the incidence of the virus, and particularly since three of our own have contracted it. We just feel it's in the best interest of this church that we continue meeting just on Sunday morning. We will continue broadcasting live on Sunday morning as well as the Wednesday night Devo, but we will start back then on Sunday night, August the 1st. And at that time, or before that time, we will decide about when we're going to begin again with Sunday school and Wednesday night classes. It stands to reason that when the public schools open for the children to return to school, that would be a logical time for us to open to return two classes, but a decision will be made on that in plenty of time for us to make preparation for that. So just wanted to give you a heads up on what's going on there. Keep each other in prayer. We have a lot of our sick folks, some that we know about, some we don't. And let's just remember folks in prayer, continue to make phone calls, continue to write email messages, communicate with each other by whatever means you can, but let's stay in touch with each other. We need that. We need that fellowship. We need that closeness. I was talking with someone the other day, and I will not say who, but they said they had not had a hug in a long time, and we were both wearing masks, so I gave her a hug because she said she hadn't had a hug in a long time. Well, this is just tragic. It's just tragic that we're in such a situation that people are not able to have close contact and communion with one another. So I'm thankful that we have this online capability, and I'm thankful that we have at least enough space here for us to gather, and there's still, for those of you watching, there's still plenty of room in the church building if you feel comfortable returning to services. We are practicing social distancing. Family units are sitting together. We have an empty pew between each group. And so we're doing what we can to try to keep everybody safe. If you'd open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I don't have a sore throat, but I'm having some sinus drainage, and my voice is failing. So it may quit on me this morning. If it does, just bear with me. I've got a little water up here, and I'll take a swallow every now and then if I need to. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 56, a familiar passage, but I'd like for us to begin by reading this text. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 2 points I'd like to make from this text as we begin this morning. First of all, God gives us the victory. Over what? Over sin and the resulting death that comes because of sin. God gives us the victory over this. It's not a victory that we could attain on our own. God is the one who gives us that victory. The law revealed sin for what it was, and since man could not keep the law, everything and everyone appeared to be lost. But God did something wonderful for us. He sent his own son, gave his own son to be the satisfaction of the payment of the penalty of sin. That's what that word propitiation means. We've used it a lot in the last few months. But God let Jesus pay for our sins so we didn't have to. And thus we get victory over sin. Doesn't mean we stop sinning. Doesn't mean we never mess up. But it means that sin cannot crush us as long as we follow God. As long as we serve the Lord. As long as we keep on keeping on in faithfulness to him. Sin cannot gain the victory over us like it could under the law. And then in verse 58, we often hear that phrase, be steadfast, immovable. And when we hear that phrase, we think of being stable, strongly standing our ground. And that is its primary meaning. But this morning I'd like to think outside the box a little bit as I ask the question, and this is the title of the sermon, what do you see? What do you see? Someone once said, when the chips are down, you find out who your real friends are. I believe that's true, don't you? When the chips are down, I don't know what the chips down means, but regardless, when you're having a tough time, that's when you find out who your real friends are. So the Lone Ranger and Tonto had been patrolling out in the Badlands. And he looked, they were headed north, and topping a hill in front of them was 1,000 screaming savages, war paint, yelling and screaming, charging down the top of the hill toward them. So they headed south, and another 1,000 Indians headed north toward them. They headed east. Another 1,000. They headed west. Another 1,000. They're surrounded. 4,000 screaming, angry savages bent on attacking. And the Lone Ranger turned to Tonto and said, Tonto, what do we do? And Tonto said, what do you mean we, Paleface? You find out who your real friends are. Husband and wife were sitting around the table one night talking after dinner. And she said, why don't you play golf with George anymore? And he said, let me just ask you. Would you play with a fellow who puts down the wrong score and moves the ball whenever he thinks you're not watching and cheats on almost every hole? Would you play golf with a fellow like that? She said, no, I wouldn't. And he answered, neither will George. Evangelism is a commandment of the Lord. And while some are brought to Christ from hearing sermons in revivals and gospel meetings and things of this nature, most people are brought to Christ by someone that they trust. There was a Bible study, there was a visit in the home, there was interaction with one another over a period of time, and this person came to faith. They came to believe Jesus is the Son of God, and they came to realize that they were lost without Him. And they obeyed the gospel because of the impact from someone that they trust. And yet today, in the modern church, and I'm talking even before this pandemic hit, in the modern church, there has been a sharp decline in evangelistic efforts. People have pretty much stopped even trying to win their neighbors. And people are always looking for a better method to bring lost souls to Jesus. What we really need to concentrate on is being better people. And when we are better people, we will see better results when we do try and teach someone. We've all heard the old saying, what you see is what you get. What if I see something different tomorrow? Is that what I'm getting? If I see you today is one way and I see you tomorrow a different way, what I see is what I get. Doesn't quite get it. I'd like to suggest a slightly different perspective. What you see is what it is. What you see is what it is. If you see me today a certain way, I'm supposed to be that same way when you see me again. If I have a certain character, certain nature, certain attitude and conduct, that's the way it's supposed to be all the time. That's the way it's supposed to be all the time. Not what you see today is what you get, and what you see tomorrow is what you get. And I'm different in both cases. The fact of the matter is, what you see is what it is. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Whenever you met Jesus, whether it was on the road to Samaria, whether it was near the temple in Jerusalem, whether it was in the home of a sinful person, wherever you met Jesus, He was exactly the same. He was the same person. No matter where He was, no matter what the circumstance, He was exactly the same person. He was not one way with one group and another way with another group. Do you remember when Peter was eating with some Gentiles and Paul came in? Paul was there with them. And Peter ate with some Gentiles. And some Jews came in from Jerusalem. And Peter got up and went over and formed a separate group with the Jews and would no longer have any dealings with the Gentiles. And the Bible says, Paul said, I withstood him to his face. He was to be condemned because he was bringing division in the church. He was being two different people. Two different people. One with one group, somebody else with another group. That's not right, is it? When you look at Jesus, he was always the same in every situation. Can I honestly say the same thing about myself? When someone sees me, are they seeing the real me? Or do I have on my church face? Now, I've talked to different ones about going into what I call preacher mode. I tend to be, and I know you're going to find this hard to believe, Stan, but I tend to be an introvert. I tend to be, now Sarah's laughing at me. I see behind her mask, she's laughing at me. She can barely contain it. I tend to be an introvert. I know that's hard to believe, but it's true. You can ask Faye. People will say to Faye, how do you put up with this all the time? She says, I don't have to. He's not like this at home. When I'm in preacher mode, I am trying to reach out to people. I'm trying to impact. I'm trying to do my job and all this. But when I go home and I sit down and I'm reading my book or whatever, I'm not cracking jokes. I'm not having a big old smile on my face. I'm not trying to win friends and influence people, as the saying goes. I'm just me. But I'm a quiet me. Now, that's not a problem. That's not a problem. Because comportment or deportment? I can't remember the term. Anyway, the way you deal with things, the way you deal with situations, your behavior will be modified depending upon the situation you're in. Sometimes it's time for us to be silly and cut up and act all foolish and have a good old time. And then other times, by the way, that's not exactly appropriate at a funeral, is it? Other times, it's time for us to be extremely serious and conduct ourselves appropriately to the situation. That is perfectly fine. And Jesus did the same thing. There's a time to rejoice and a time to weep. Okay? So that's not what I'm talking about here. What I'm talking about here is being the same person, the same values, the same characteristics, the same nature, the same ethics. Now, last week we talked about integrity. Fathers being men of integrity, being men of honor, men who stand for something, men who can be depended upon, men who are honest and honorable, integrity. Well, today I'm talking more about consistency. Consistency. Who you are all the time. And let me tell you, if I'm not who I am all the time, I've got some changing to do. I've got some changing to do. I may, like I said, in different environments and different situations, I may act differently in respect to my behavior, but my character is going to still be the same if I'm truly a Christian, if I'm truly a child of God. Now, obviously, if somebody sees you and they see you one way one time, as far as your character, and they see you behaving in an entirely different manner in another, we got a problem. We got a problem. You think about people that go to church on Sunday, but they went partying on Saturday night, drinking and carrying on. You think about that. That's what I'm talking about. There's a few passages of scriptures I'd like to examine this morning. Just look at the perspective of this from a couple of passages of scripture. Luke chapter 16, verse 13. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, obviously, this involves two different characters with different characteristics, God and Mammon. Now, one focuses exclusively on the physical, Mammon, and the other looks at the world through spiritual eyes, God. And you cannot serve God and Mammon. They are totally different from one another. And if what you do that's appropriate for Mammon will not be appropriate for God. And what you do that's appropriate for God will be rejected and detested by Mammon, by materialism, by the physical world. We need to recognize you cannot do both. Matthew chapter 5, verse 34 through 37. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and let your no be no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. James echoes what our Lord said, and then I'll comment. In James 5, verse 12, he says, but above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. What in the world are Jesus and his brother James talking about? Now somebody says, well, this means you can't swear in court. That is not what he's talking about. He's talking about being honest. Being honest. I got a friend of mine in North Carolina. I'm telling you, this was his catchphrase. This was his catchphrase. This is the honest truth. This is what he would say. This is the honest truth. Now, what I'm saying, this is the honest truth. That was his phrase. That's what he'd say. Or somebody else says, man, I wouldn't lie to you. This is what's... Well, now, you don't have to say that if you wouldn't lie to me. You don't have to say this is the honest truth if it is the honest truth. I mean, if it's the truth, it's certainly going to be honest. And so if you're a person that has to let somebody know when you're telling them the truth, then it implies that if you don't say that, you may not be telling the truth. So what these Jews would do, they would make some statement, and they would say, I swear it's true by the temple. Well, as though that made it have more weight to it. Well, Jesus is saying, if you tell them it's this way, that's how it's supposed to be. You shouldn't have to try to back it up with an oath. You shouldn't have to try to supplement what you say with some profound, extreme statement of, I swear by the head of my children. I swear on my mother's grave. Things of this nature. That implies that you are a dishonest person at heart. And unless you do say something extreme, then I can't really trust what you're saying is true. That's what that implies. And Jesus is saying, when you say yes, it should simply mean yes. When you say no, it should simply mean no. You shouldn't have to add some oath or some promise. Hey man, listen, I promise I'm telling you the truth. I promise I'm telling you the truth. If your character, if you're the same all the time, if what you see is what it is, then you don't have to say, I promise you I'm telling you the truth. Because people know that if you are opening your mouth, you're telling the truth. There's an old joke. How do you know when a politician's lying? Okay, yeah. Y'all know his lips are moving, right? Okay, there you go. That's it. That's how you tell if a politician's lying, his lips are moving. We must be people, when we speak, it is what it is. What you see is what it is. That's the kind of people that God expects us to be. There is another passage in Titus chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. Says, in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. If you are an honest person, if you are always who you are, you would never think about going back on your word. You'd be the same person no matter what circumstance. And you would be, as a child of God, you would be a person that's living their life so that you don't give the enemy cause to slander the name of Jesus. Brethren, consistency is the key. Let me give you an example of this. Daniel was a captive in Babylon, and it was his practice to pray facing Jerusalem 3 times a day. This was his practice. Evidently, he had a window that faced the direction of Jerusalem, and so he would go to that window 3 times a day and offer his prayers to God. Well, he had a lot of enemies. There was a lot of jealousy among the princes that served the king, and Daniel was favored higher than all of them, and they didn't like that. So they wanted to find a way to get Daniel in trouble. So they came up with an idea. Oh, King Darius, you are the great king and ruler of the world. Let us make a decree and let you sign this decree that for the next 30 days, no person can pray to any god or to any other person, make a request to any other person than to you, O great king. And Darius thought, that's pretty good. So he signed it. And when Daniel, the Bible says in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. With Daniel, what you see is what it is. That's exactly the kind of people that God is expecting us to be. He wants us to be consistent, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. He wants us to be consistent in being Christians. Oh, we're going to sin. We're going to mess up. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to fall flat on our face at times. But that's not who we are. When John is talking about a one who is born of God does not sin, he's not talking about an individual situation where you had a bad day and you made a bad decision. He's talking about that's not your practice. Your practice is not to sin. See, what a hypocrite is somebody who lives like the devil throughout the week and comes to church on Sunday. That's the definition of a hypocrite. He lives like the devil through the week and comes to church on Sunday. Well, folks, that person is not right with God. They're not right with God. There's no fixing that if they don't repent and become a person. What you see is what it is. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. And God expects us to be who we really are all the time. All the time. Somebody says, well, when you're at home, you should be able to let your hair down. Okay, yeah, should be able to let your hair down. That doesn't mean that you have the right to mistreat your family. That doesn't mean you have the right to say whatever comes to your mind without any regard to whether it's right or wrong, whether it's good or evil. You can let your hair down, you can relax, but you have to still be a Christian, even at home, even at home. And so if that's what Paul is talking about in Ephesians, you need to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Philippians 1:27, our last reference this morning. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, your behavior, your conduct, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That you stand fast in one spirit. You are not divided. You're not trying to serve God and mammon. You're not trying to hold on to heaven with one hand and the world with the other. You're one spirit. You stand fast in one spirit. This is all about being a consistent Christian. I need to be who I am all the time. My demeanor will be adjusted to fit the situation, but not who I am. If I can't be who I am, wherever I am and with whom, whomever I'm with, if I can't be the same, then I'm not the person God wants me to be. And I need to change. And I'd better get on with it. I need to be transformed by the renewing of my mind, as Romans 12, verse 1 and 2 says. I need to be a new creature in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. I need to be conformed to the image of God's dear Son, Romans 8 and verse 29. What you see is what it is. Now, some people have an attitude that I am who I am, and you're just going to have to accept me for who I am. Who are you talking to when you say that? Who are you talking to? You talking to me? Maybe I'll accept you, maybe I won't. Doesn't matter whether I do or don't. Who are you talking to when you say that? You talking to your boss? You talking to your prospective mate? You know, is that how you deal with your prospective mate? You're dating a girl and you say, hey, listen, I'm not changing for anybody. What you see is what you get. That's it. That's it. Boy, that's very attractive, isn't it? Yeah. Who are you talking to when you say that? You talking to God? Are you that foolish to talk to God like that? To say, God, hey, listen, I am who I am. You know, we sing the song, just as I am. Well, Lord, here I am. I'm just as I am. I come to you. Does that mean I don't have to change anymore? That I can just keep on being an old reprobate? That I can just be anybody I want to be, do whatever I want to do? There are religions that teach the concept of once saved, always saved, and they may as well be saying that. But brethren, the Bible makes it clear that the person who claims to follow Jesus had better be consistent, or he's not going to heaven. Doesn't mean that we're going to be perfect. We're going to mess up, and when we mess up, we fess up. But the fact of the matter is, I have to change. I have to grow. I have to become more than what I am right now. And I have to keep doing that the rest of my life. And so do you. That's what God calls us to do. To grow. To become more like His Son every day. And so let us work on being consistent Christians. What you see is what it is. If you're not a Christian, then my friend, today is the perfect day for you to become a child of God. If you believe Jesus is the Son of God, then repent of your sins, confess your faith in Him, and be baptized for remission of your sins. Let the blood of Jesus wash your sins away. If you're already a child of God, but you've not been faithful to Him, rededicate your life to Him today while you can. Don't waste an opportunity to serve the Lord. Whatever your need, whatever we can do to help you, we invite and encourage you to come right now if you need to, as we stand and as we sing.